You're listening to the Spuddy Dude Radio Network. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode on the Spidey Dude Radio Network. I'm Zach Joyner, your friendly neighborhood webmaster of the website that powers this very podcast, the executive producer of the Spidey Dude Radio Network. As always, we have to thank our patrons that help support the website and the podcast network over on patreon.com/SpideyDudeNetwork. Patrons such as Allison, Cindy, Ed, Georgia, Greg, Janelle, Jessica, Jurgen, Catherine, Kale, Laura Howard, Lump Moose, Master Dramon, Phoenician, Scott, Vanessa, Vicky, Winnipeg Webhead, Greg, Lisa, UltimateFangirl.exe, Kigar, Sarah Petzl, Scott McGraw, Sebastian, and Venkman. Thank you guys for your support over on patreon.com/SpideyNetwork. If you have not checked out our other fine shows on the network, we have Clone Saga Chronicles and Spectacular Radio. We have ASM Classics, this show, the Salby Sima Era Podcast, Voices from the Eerie, a Gargoyles Podcast, Spidey Dude Experience, and Make Mine Mayday. The Spidey Dude Experience is the flagship show on the network now, and we also have a show within a show, just like this show, with the Slot Symposium. This show has the Web of Music show that if you've not already checked out those episodes here on this feed, you should definitely do so. They're a lot of fun. Once again, I want to thank Chris for hosting, and thank you for supporting the website. Leave us that 5-star review. Let us know how we're doing here on the Spidey Dude Radio Network. With that, I turn it over to Chris.
Welcome to this special episode of the Spidey Dude Radio Network's Spectacular Salby Sima Era Podcast. I'm your host, Chris, and tonight joining me for this episode, artist inker whose work we have crossed over with while covering the era of Salby Sima on Spectacular Spider-Man while he was over on the web book, we have inker Kink Williams on the show with us. Thank you for coming on the show with us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. Hey, guys.
We realized we were covering a lot of your material as we were going through the Spectacular book when Sal was drawing that book while you were over on the inking for Webs. How many issues of Webs did you end up inking?
Wow. Okay, that's a good question. Definitely, let's see, started on like about issue 36 or something like that, and gosh, when did I end? Was it like in the 70s? Might be around there somewhere. 70s. There. It was about four and a half, five years of work.
Oh, that's incredible. That must have been a really good, steady, decent paycheck.
It was. Especially since Web at that time, I think, was selling somewhere over anywhere from 150,000 to 200,000 copies.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? That's incredible. Yeah. I know at the date we're recording this, Ultimate Spider-Man number one just came out. Ultimate Universe. Not Miles Morales. This is the Peter in his 30s married with kids comic book. So, okay. And I'm waiting to hear what the numbers on that are. You know what I mean? Because it's apparently selling out everywhere. Like, people are really, like, into it. It's written by Jonathan Hickman.
Oh, I got to take a look at it then. I got to go over
yeah,
to the
so
store.
It's
I don't
apparently
go to
definitely... Go. It's going to be selling than the regular Amazing book, which has not had a great fan base for a while. So
wow.
Yeah. Wow. And yep. We're on the eve in like another month or two. They're going to be launching The Spectacular Spider-Man, which is the Miles Peter team-up book with Roberto Ramos and Greg Wiseman on the team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay, so I'm seeing good things in the other Spider book. So to hear that a Spider book like Webb's 150,000 copies a month, was that the lower end of the four titles coming out?
Actually, that was.
Yeah, okay, I figured. I always thought Webb was the lower selling of the three Spider-Man titles, and then eventually four Spider titles with Spider-Man on with Todd McFarlane, which was selling like a million copies an issue. But I mean, were those good numbers back then? How does that whole number system work? And you weren't even doing multiple covers, right? It was just one cover per issue.
Just one cover per issue, and those numbers were good back then. Yeah, those were amazing numbers. I mean, Some I don't know if even some paperback books sometimes get that much, you know, like that many sales. It was it was incredible. I know there were other books like Amazing Spider-Man and Spectacular that did a lot more, but yeah, no, that for web for me, I was happy with it. It was pretty decent.
How did you get the job from for Webb? What was the book you were on previously?
Oh wow. Let's see. The book I was on previously was I was doing for a regular book was Sectors.
Sectors, like the toy?
Yeah, like the toy.
Oh
Yep.
my God, I actually have all 8 issues here in a box next to me.
Oh really? So
Yeah.
you see the ones with me and Steve in there, right? And
Yeah.
Steve Geiger. Yeah. Yeah, that was my first regular book for Marvel, and Web of Spider-Man, you know, like it kind of came sort of like after that, you know, like yeah, sometimes I get my times a little messed up, you know, like I'm not exactly sure what happened exactly when, but I do know that Sectors was first. I also worked on Transformers a little bit, and Web of Spider-Man then became my regular gig.
Were
And
you drawing or inking Transformers?
I was inking
Okay.
Transformers.
There
Yeah,
again,
I was an inker.
Transformers is another book that has recently been relaunched with Darren Warren Johnson, and it has had like seriously incredible sales numbers.
Wow. I'll tell you know, like, I mean, it was great back then. Well, that's when it went when I was doing it. That's when the thing first came out. So, you know, I get it's amazing. Yeah, it has a real great power, you know, like to it, you know, like, and I always love watching the movies.
The while you were inking Webb, did you ever want to did you ever want to take over and draw an issue while Alex wanted to like a month off or something?
I was definitely not a penciler at that time. I was definitely an inker. I could work over other people's artwork. I could correct other people's artwork, but doing my own stuff at that time, I wasn't really I don't think I was really up to par at that moment in time to do a you know like an issue on my own. Yeah. You know that you know like there are inkers that could actually, of course, do penciling and do a whole story, you know, and then there's other guys like me who, you know, like inking was it. That was the that was our thing. And I just ended up doing a lot of different books being an inker. So I didn't really I you know, like I never really thought of myself as, oh yeah, I can go and do Web of Spider-Man for a few issues. You know, like, I never thought that way.
When did you start becoming an artist more?
That was when Photoshop started to take my job away from me. And it was easier, I guess, sometimes to just darken the pencils in Photoshop instead of using an inker to finish the artwork. So I just, you know, decided then that, yeah, you know, like maybe I should finally get onto the other part of it, the penciling part of it, and practice my skills again, because it was, I don't know, at that time about maybe over 20 years that I was an inker, and I didn't really pencil that much, so I lost some of that skill, you know, to translate it from my brain to my hand. I didn't have that skill at the time, so I had to practice and I had to read, and I had to just keep drawing continuously, you know, like until I started to feel comfortable with my pencils. I'm still actually not comfortable with my pencils. I still have a lot to learn, truthfully. But at least it's I guess I know enough so that I'm able to you know, like do commissions and some covers and, you know, just stuff with some independence. So, you know, yeah.
Did you ever get involved in any of the story process? I mean, as an inker, you're basically handed the story already through the art, and you ink it and then you send it back.
Right. Yeah, that's basically it. What would usually happen for us, that if the penciler had something that he wanted to make sure that we knew what was going on in a certain scene, he'd write it down on the side panel of the page, so that we know, like, oh, this is nighttime, so like make sure the mood's there, or or if there's like correction to like deal with the correction. But no, we weren't involved in the storytelling. That would usually be the writer and the penciler working on that.
When you were inking the book, how were the how was like the department meetings when you guys were coming across crossover events and stories? What did you were you involved in those, or was that just the writers and artists?
Oh, well, with books like Secret Wars at the time, at that time I was an assistant editor. I
You
worked on
worked
the
on Secret
Spider-Man
Wars?
books. Yeah, I actually did. I did backgrounds for Secret Wars. I'm trying to remember what issue it was, but it was an issue that was late. What was it? I believe Jim Shooter, he rented out, or like a penthouse suite near Marvel, and a bunch of us, me being a background inker at the time, and some colorist and some other people, we all went up to this room, and we worked overnight to get it done for the deadline. Which it had to go out the next day. It was really an interesting experience working on that book and hanging out in a penthouse. Never did that before. It's really cool. And Jim took care of us, and by the time it was early morning, we were done what we had to do, and we all staggered home. But I worked as an assistant editor, also on when Secret Wars was happening, and at the time that, I don't know if you, I'm sure you remember the issue when Spider-Man sees the arch that's I guess it's in Amazing Spider-Man. I forgot what issue it was. Saw the arch where the Beyonder. Places it, I guess, in Central Park, whatever it is, and he swings through in his blue and red costume, and then the next issue he swings out on in his black costume. So we had to, talk about that. That was mostly, most likely, Jim Owsley, who was the editor at the time. I discussed how that was happening, and I just like basically went along for the ride with that.
I wouldn't know I don't actually know what issues that is. So he was in he's in the black costume in the beginning, you said, in the red and blue at
Oh, he
the
was in
end.
a red and a blue. He was in a red and a blue at the beginning, and he saw the arch that led to
Oh, yeah, the
the
portal. Yeah,
Beyonder's
yeah.
world, the portal.
Yeah, that was oh God, I think he's on the cover swinging at the audience in the
Yes,
black costume.
yes,
And it
yes.
was
And then he's
obviously right
swinging out.
after that. It was whatever
Yes.
week that followed the Amazing Spider-Man 252, which is when the first appearance of the black costume. Which, as a
Right.
kid, let me tell you something. As a kid growing up and not understanding how the continuity quite works yet, I was always really confused that, like, so I always assumed that maybe they had ceased publication on the titles for 12
Yeah,
months.
I know. Yeah, right.
But you know what would have happened today if they'd done Secret Wars? They would have been 12, like 30, 40 different tie-ins. Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, Web of Spider-Man. Web of Spider-Man hadn't launched yet, by the way, because Web of Spider-Man didn't
No.
launch till after the black costume was introduced, because it was
That's
Web of
right.
Spider number one. He gets rid of the black
He
costume
gets rid of it.
permanently, or so he believes.
That's right.
Anyway, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men, the Avengers, Captain America, Thor, whoever else was involved in Secret Wars would have had 12 issue tie-ins or whatever on Battle World.
Yeah,
Could you imagine if
sure.
they had done that back then?
Yeah, that would have been totally insane.
Because nowadays we
No.
take it for granted, and that's what they do, and we're just all suck it up and we're like, oh well, we gotta if I gotta read Marvel, this is what I gotta do. I gotta buy all this stupid.
Exactly, but this way, I find it was almost better because, you know, when he swung back out in that black outfit, it made people wonder, well, how the heck did this happen? Well, you had to go and read Secret Wars to find out how he got the black costume. Because they didn't they it's like and then the Amazing Spider-Man just went off on his own business. He didn't have to think about that anymore, you know, like except that he's wearing the black costume, and then you just had to go and read the Secret Wars stuff. There was nothing to sort of like interfere with what was going on in the regular book, except for the fact that he had the black costume. And everybody else, I guess, in all the other books had that same kind of thing happen where they changed a little bit, something happened, whatever. But they went on with the, with whatever storyline they were doing, you know, like before they went into the Arch. They just went about their business. But then you had Secret Wars that had all these incredible stories about all the stuff that happened in between.
And now we're bringing we have Secret Wars back again. There's some Secret Wars miniseries with Ron Frez. Not Ron Frez, Pat Olaf, I think, and Tom DeFalco are on it.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, I saw some of the pages of that. Looks nice.
While you were inking Web, did you while you were inking Web, what were some of the what some of the harder character hardest characters to ink in the web book?
Oh, hardest characters to ink in a web book. Let's see. Wow. Let's see. They were all basically. I guess you could put it down to okay, you had people in superhero outfits, then you had people in regular clothing. It seemed like I felt that a lot of the characters that he was fighting in Web, you know, like had some regular clothing on, you know, like and that might have been a little, you know, like harder to work with, you know, because like with superheroes, it's basically, you know, the anatomy of the body and, you know, like the muscles and stuff like that. But when you're doing clothing, you got to think about the folds and, you know, like and how the material hangs on the person and stuff like that. So it makes it a little harder. It's definitely harder on the penciler than it is for me, but I have to make sure that I follow through with, you know, like with the look of how the people are dressed and everything, and make sure that it looked right, or I wouldn't have a job.
Why did you leave Web?
I didn't actually leave Web, unfortunately or fortunately. It was just that time. They felt like they wanted somebody else to ink the book at that moment in time, and I said okay, you know, like but at this at that